I'm Maria Blakey for Discovery Health. Our topic today is the risk assessment and management of patients with pain being considered for opioid therapy. We'd like to thank Postgraduate Institute for Medicine for accrediting the program and Integrity CE for serving as our educational partner. We'd also like to thank King Pharmaceuticals for providing the educational grant that makes this program possible. The physicians and other healthcare professionals can earn free CME credit by registering online at discoveryhealthcme.com and taking the post-test. All the graphics and references from today's program will also be available online. It's easy to log on, take the post-test, and earn free credit for the program, so do it today. Now, we're fortunate to have a distinguished group of experts in the studio with us today to discuss managing pain patients with opioid therapy, to review the latest guidelines and recommendations, and to share their advice. Dr. Charles E. Argoff, Professor of Neurology, Director of the Comprehensive Pain Program, Albany Medical College, Albany, New York. Dr. Stephen D. Pasek, Associate Attending Psychologist, Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, New York, New York. And Dr. Perry G. Fine, Professor of Anesthesiology, Pain Management Center, University of Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Now, during the next hour, we will discuss the burden of pain in the U.S., opioid use for medical and non-medical purposes, the assessment of risk for aberrant drug-related behaviors in patients with pain, the use of the universal precautions and recently released guidelines for the assessment and management of patients with pain, and the role of abuse-deterrent opioid formulations. Now, pain is a significant burden on society. How do we put this issue into perspective?
Well, let's put it this way. If we assume there are approximately 300 million people in the United States population, more than one quarter of individuals 20 years or older, or approximately 76.5 million people, experience pain for more than 24 hours on a regular basis. In terms of cost, unbelievable burden. Chronic pain, the treatment of chronic pain in general, costs more to our healthcare economy on an annual basis than the combination of heart disease and cancer combined. So that should give you some idea.
If we look at who experiences this burden the most, it turns out there's, we drill down to this data, the largest growing segment in this our population is the aging population, 65 years and older. And if we look at the burden of pain on that population, we discover that about 60% of those individuals have pain on a continuous basis that has some impact, some negative impact on the quality of their life for more than a year. In consistent time. So as we start thinking about the construct of pain within the larger sphere of healthcare in our country, you can see that this really is a serious public health problem with a significant burden.
And I'm really thankful to my colleagues for starting us off and reminding us of what an enormous public health problem it is, because the national attention on this issue has been so trumped by some of the other issues that we're going to be talking about today. The problem, the growing problem of prescription drug abuse is another enormous public health problem. But historically, we keep playing one off the other, trying to solve them independently, and the pendulum just keeps on swinging back and forth between the two.
Well, we know that physicians like to learn by case studies, and today we will meet three different patients dealing with pain who were treated with opioid therapy, each illustrating a primary teaching point for our discussion. The first is the issue of poorly treated pain. Now, we had the opportunity to meet Deborah from Linthicum, Maryland, who has suffered for years because she wasn't getting the right treatment.
Needs a stand for... All right. Check that off.
We've got a good family business. We provide businesses with video projectors and screens and go and do installation jobs. I'm the CEO, and my husband Gary is president. Christopher is our oldest son, and Michael is my youngest son. And both of them are highly involved in the business.
Make sure everything's working before it's sent out.
I only work like 2 to 3 days a week. With my pain, I just don't feel like I can put in that many hours.
I think we got all those projects ready to go.
I've probably dealt with the pain for the past 5 or 6 years. I'd start waking up and feeling a little hurt in my back and didn't think much of it, and then weeks and months would go by and it just kept getting worse and worse. The pain level was really bad at the height of it.
I guess when the grandkids came on the scene, she wanted to do so much with playing with them and doing different events with them.
Well, my pain is at its worst when I've been doing any kind of activity, playing with my grandkids, doing a lot of walking, standing for any length of time. They say I have a degenerating disc in my lower spine, and sometimes it goes into my legs and my feet. The initial things were trying different medications at first, and then I tried different kinds of cortisone shots, and it just didn't work, so I tried other things. I went to physical therapy. I did try the hot and cold therapy for a while, and that didn't seem to do anything on my back.
Would you say your right side then is worse
yeah,
than the left side?
Right.
Okay. Any buckling or giving out of that leg?
Yeah. It's pretty rough. Trying all these different things and not finding anything that will help. But we keep hoping.
We all want to take the magic pill and you're healed for the next little bit, but it's a process of going through different treatments to try to solve the problem, because I assume different things work for different patients.
That's my life, trying to find out what to do to stop the pain. The doctor seems to know what my daily life is, and he's trying to help me to cope with each day, to go on with my life in the best way possible.
Dr. Fine.
Well, you know, it seems very appropriate to start off with Deborah's case. She, as a person suffering from back pain, represents probably the most common problem that we see in the U.S. anyway. About 26 million of the 70, 80 million people that suffer from chronic daily pain, it's back pain. Very, very common problem. The good news is that most people get better relatively quickly after a back injury or a strain or a sprain or something that brings on back pain. But Deborah does represent a significant group of individuals who do not get better, who do not heal spontaneously or with various interventions, and go on to have what we call chronic or persistent pain, lasting more than 2 or 3 months, and that has a significant impact on their life. It affects their mood, their sleep, their work, their ability to care for their family, their ability to take care of themselves, and ultimately they continue to seek medical care. I think that's what, in today's program, we want to talk about, giving people advice and physicians about how to prevent this kind of thing from happening.
It also means, though, having the physician, healthcare provider recognize and acknowledge the person's complaint of pain and take it very seriously, evaluate it fully, and say, okay, here are a number of ways we can treat this. Let's start doing this.
And, you know, opioids are really just one component. And, you know, they have a lot of potential. They have some risks. You know, but they're not necessarily first line, nor are they necessarily last resort. They are, we sort that out patient by patient.
How big of a problem is poorly treated pain?
From the standpoint of the impact on both the individual, on people's families, and in the economy, it's huge. I think, as it previously been alluded to, that if you add up the costs of cancer, cardiovascular disease, other degenerative neurological diseases, the things that we spend so much time and money and effort researching at the National Institutes of Health, physicians take care of. We have specialists.
Physicians
around.
Don't even think twice about taking care of those things.
Right. This is normative behavior in men. But pain is sort of a nuisance. It's a problem, and yet it's a problem that instead of attending to seriously, we tend to attend to a sort of avoidance until it becomes a crisis. And so I think we really need to reenculturate almost our thinking about this. And it starts with recognizing the extraordinary impact it has, the degrading impact it has on people's lives. It does prevent them from being able to attend to work, to take care of themselves. It, in fact, has a significant negative impact on their overall health and well-being.
We have not only the issue, for example, in work of absenteeism, people not going to work at all, but we have even maybe more people experiencing what's called presenteeism, coming to work but not being able to really complete their job to their satisfaction or to their supervisor's satisfaction because they're in pain.
Well, as we know, opioid therapy is one option that clinicians have in managing patients with pain. How effective can this be as one component of a chronic pain management program?
Well, as I said earlier, it really is an important tool. It's one that has a lot of upside, but it also has some significant risks. I think sometimes the way pain management is practiced, a lot of different practitioners are kind of like hammers, and everything looks like a nail. And so a lot of times what a patient will get will depend on how they entered into the healthcare system with their pain. And so if they see an anesthesiologist first, they might get an interventional approach. If they see their primary care doctor, they might get an opioid or non-opioid medication approach. If they see me, I'll probably talk to them about the emotional impact and the psychological side of their pain. And, you know, the thing that we really struggle with is how to integrate all of that and how to, the real art of pain management is how to combine those modalities effectively. And, you know, I think sometimes that takes a back seat to beliefs about opioids as they're the last-ditch treatment. You try them only after everything else has failed. And that's really not a good way to approach it. I think that has to be sorted out, as I said earlier.